You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast. All roads lead to the Purple Project Podcast.
Triple P is all about the happenings across Kansas State Athletics in Manhattan, Kansas.
Football, basketball, and everything else in between. K-State is ready to compete with top teams among the Big 12 Conference.
The kickoff of the Purple Project Podcast starts right now. Here's your host, Eddie Crew III.
Episode 114 of the Purple Project Podcast is on the air. K-State Nation, welcome back to another edition of the weekly podcast, a special edition. Eddie Greer, your host, here in Manhattan, Kansas. The Purple Project Podcast, for those of you new to the pod, all about covering all things Kansas State Athletics here in Manhattan, Kansas, as recording this on Monday, August 15th, 2022, and we got a bonus episode this week for you guys before we bring on our usual co-host and special guest this evening. Of course, you can find the Pro Project Podcast wherever you get your podcast, whether that's Apple Podcasts, we're on Odyssey, Spotify, and a few more podcasting platforms as well. We are quickly approaching the 2022 Kansas State football season. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast. For those of you new to the podcast, welcome on board. There is a little history made on this podcast tonight. More on that in a few moments. No time to be messing around now. It's time to be on my coast out there, out west in San Diego. Also a K-State alum, for those of you who don't know, like myself, Alex Aiden, co-host of the Purple Project Podcast Weekly. Alex, what's happening?
Not too much, Eddie. It's Monday. Here we go. Here goes yet another week. Weeks flying by. What are we? T minus 20 days for football now. We're T minus 25.
I think we're minus 20. We're minus 20 now.
Okay, good. I was right. So T minus 20 for football. So I'm excited for that. But really excited to have a couple episodes this week. Eddie, I think we got some great content in store for the listeners. So I'm ready to get into it.
That's right. That is right. That's right. In this episode 114 of Triple P, this one will be out on Wednesday evening. And then, of course, our usual show will be coming out on Friday night as well. Now, time to bring on our guest for tonight's podcast. She is from Wichita, Kansas, and she is back in the state of Kansas, this time joining the K-State University as the Director of On-Campus Recruiting. And I mentioned the first little bit of history being made, Alex. This is the first female guest on the Purple Project Podcast, none other than Maddie Gage, Director of On-Campus Recruiting for Kansas State. Maddie, what's happening?
Hello, hello.
How you doing tonight?
Good, good. How are y'all?
We are doing weird. I'm doing all right. Doing all right.
Happy to have you on here. Discuss things K-State football. Because you know it's always great to be able to hear from the ones who are in the trenches of all of it.
For sure.
That's right. That's right. We're going to start back chronologically a little bit for the new listeners and our current listeners who've been following us for Triple P. Maddie, I'll let you take the floor for a little bit. Just tell us a little about yourself and I'm pretty sure I have questions on here for you along with Alex, but we'll let you have the floor for a little bit. Just tell listeners a little about yourself.
So, I'm from Wichita, like you said, so I'm very excited to be back in Kansas. I went to Mays High School, right there outside of Wichita. I went to Hutch JUCO and played volleyball for 2 years. I transferred to Oklahoma State from there and did my bachelor's of sports management and marketing, so I did a double major with that. Kind of decided I wasn't quite ready for the real world and didn't really know what I wanted to do in athletics. Knew I wanted to stay in athletics, just didn't know exactly what yet. Thought I was going to go the marketing route because that's what I worked in when I was at Oklahoma State. Ended up hearing about Oklahoma's master's program and ended up going over there for a few years. That's where I got my start in football recruiting. I worked for Annie Hansen over on Coach Riley's staff as pretty much a recruiting assistant for about a year with them. Learned a lot in that year's time to the point that I knew pretty darn quickly that this is something that I could see myself doing. I love planning. I love planning events. I love planning, having my friends over. And that's what a lot of Director of On-Campus Recruiting jobs are, is a lot of planning. You are extremely extroverted. All the good things about being kind of an event planner wrapped up in college football, which I can't really ask for anything more from that. I did football recruiting at Oklahoma. I then went over to Coach Kruger's staff with men's basketball, took what I learned at football, incorporated it into basketball, and did the same thing with baseball. So I got my hands dipped in quite a few sports while I was at Oklahoma. I graduated from there in May of 2020, so peak of COVID. Obviously, we were kind of dead in recruiting. We weren't allowed to have kids on campus for quite some time, so that kind of put me in an odd spot just graduating from my master's program, and literally what my job is bringing kids on campus, and we weren't able to do that. So I kind of took a route of going into academics. I went to the University of Memphis for a year, worked with their football team in academics, learned a heck of a lot there about myself, about academics, just more things to help me in my dream to become a director of on-campus recruiting at a Power 5 school. From there, I got picked up by Georgia Southern in May the next year to be their director of on-campus recruiting, and that right there, that's where I learned a brunt of my stuff, is from Danny Payne and the staff at Georgia Southern. Loved, loved, loved every moment I was there. It was really awesome to be on a smaller staff and to really be able to get my hands on all things college football, whether it was operations, helping with equipment, helping with athletic training, with filling up the guys' waters. Like, I was just ready to kind of help wherever it was needed, because when you have a smaller staff, it's kind of all hands on deck. Left Georgia Southern. Obviously, our coach was not retained, so our staff wasn't. Went to Temple out in Philly, so that's where I just came from. spent a nice little pit stop of 4 months in Philadelphia. And while I was there, I was their director of on-campus recruiting. They were awesome. Absolutely love Coach Drayton and his staff. Couldn't have gotten where I am today without them, with that little pit stop. It was a different program, just something new. Every single program you go to, the coaches, the assistant coaches, the head coaches, the DFO, everybody wants something different from you out of a visit. So it was a great experience being able to learn that from a brand new staff right off the bat. I got kind of thrown into the fire right in the spring practices. Hosted over 700 recruits in those 4 months I was there, which is a lot of recruits to bring in. But we were getting all the local Philly, New Jersey guys in on campus. So loved my time there. Was sad to leave that staff. But then Hank and Sped called me about the job at K-State. Like, I'd be kind of silly not to want to come home. I really never thought I'd be able to get back to Kansas, especially this early on in my career. It's been a goal to at least get back to where I can drive back home instead of having to catch a couple flights to get back. but when they called, I was like, I'm on my way. Like, I'm ready to go. Like, I can't wait to be back recruiting in my home state. And obviously, you know, like, Kansas State recruits pretty heavily in Kansas and in JUCOs, and me being a JUCO product with a Kansas JUCO realm, I obviously couldn't have picked, or the program picked me for a better opportunity to kind of be in the position I am. So now I'm here. I got married in the 4 months I was at Temple. So moved my husband out to Philadelphia. He had gotten he's a basketball coach. So he had gotten a position out there with the basketball team, and then we left shortly after. But now he got an awesome opportunity out here as well. He's the new assistant men's basketball coach at Emporia State. So we're both living out our dreams in Kansas, and life can't really get much better right now. So pretty excited to be in Kansas and working with the staff we have at K-State.
Wow. That's really awesome that you're here, Maddie. I know that many people are excited to have you on board and part of the team. And obviously, got a handful of questions for you in this new role. And obviously, you've only been in a couple months, so kind of feeling things out. But so far, you know, you're from Wichita, so you know Kansas, you know Manhattan, and the area pretty well. But you know, a couple months in, what's the status report for the new role? How's everything gone so far? Is there maybe anything in particular that you're looking for in this role in the coming weeks, months, and years?
So I've literally haven't even been here for a month yet. So
it's been short. It hasn't been long.
It's been pretty short. But we've got a lot done in the month that I've been here. With any type of staff change, you're gonna go with kind of growing pains of like, all right, this is what the previous person did, but like I like would like to do it this way, or I'm learning how my coaches like to do things, or how Sped likes to do it, or Chuck likes to do it. Just how the program works as a whole is super important. So me getting in there, my third official day on the job was our barbecue. So that was a great opportunity for me to see our coaches live in action with our recruits and how they interacted. So a lot of it also has been there at camp now. So everybody's pretty darn busy. So I have my coordinator, Taylor, her and I have been working every single day on pretty much we're getting ready for game days. So like you said, we're pretty close to our first game on September 3rd. So that's us getting ready for game day visit. So I'm a big, big checklist person. I literally make checklists for everything because I don't want things to fall through the cracks. So as much as I can prevent things falling through the cracks with a checklist, I'm going to do it. I'm big on being able to physically see something being crossed off my list, especially when the list continues to grow. It seems you can never quite get the list down for it to just grow again. So we're getting our credentials and our lanyards and all the good stuff for game days ready to go, all stuff ordered. And just kind of learning our board. Our recruiting board's really important to me, obviously, to know who's on it and trying to figure out what coaches recruit, what areas, who our coaches are as people as well, and what positions they coach. So I had just finished kind of getting all of that down at Temple since I got through June with them. So now it's just relearning a whole entire new staff of every single coach is going to have a certain way that they like visits to go for their prospect. So it's me kind of having to get with them and having to get with Sped and everybody else and look at previous visits and see how they do things. And it's pretty exciting being able to see what they do here because they've done such an amazing job at it. And I'm excited to be able to take what I've learned and hopefully make it even better experience for our recruits. So we're literally just getting stuff ready. We're chopping away to get stuff done in the next 2 weeks to get ready for that first round of guys that come to our games.
Maddie Gage here on the Purple Project Podcast. Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden here with Maddie here. And big thanks to Maddie for joining us this evening on a busy schedule. I want to go back a little bit. We have something in common. You went to community college, but I went to community college of a different school, Barton County Community College. I'm pretty sure you heard of that. which is in Great Bend. I ran track and field out there before. K-State was not on my radar of schools, and then transferred to K-State after 2.5 years out there, graduated and did all that, graduated and then transferred here with a few friends that I made over there. Was there a difference transferring from, you say you went to Hutch, you played volleyball, was there a big difference from playing volleyball from a smaller school transferring into Oklahoma State?
For sure. I mean, the difference is I didn't play volleyball at Oklahoma State. fun fact, they're the only school in the Big 12 that does not have a volleyball team.
That's right.
yeah, so I didn't get to play at Oklahoma State. I played intramural volleyball when I could. I kind of knew going into my college recruitment that I wanted to go JUCO because Oklahoma State was, I'm a legacy there. A lot of my family has graduated from there, and so that's where I knew I was going to go.
Okay.
So knowing that, I knew I wanted to go play volleyball in college. I was good enough to go play, but I was like, at least if I stay close to home, my parents can come to all my games. Mm-hmm. Hutch was an awesome opportunity. It was a winning program. Coach Hall, I played under my 2 years there. I think we lost like one or two conference games the 2 years I was there. I forget our exact record, but it was very low. So I hate losing. So that was awesome that we were such a good program. Like, we won both my years there. We went to nationals both years there. So the big difference for me was transitioning to not having a team. I was so used to knowing all of my teammates before we even started school. So like, I already had my little clique per se, like I had my little friend group, and going to Oklahoma State, I literally went in knowing zero people. I worked my way in to become a marketing intern before I got there, contacting those people, to let them know I was interested. So the big part was not having volleyball in my life anymore. And so that was a big transition for me, but I wanted to focus on my academics and focus on with my career goals, and I mean, it seemed to have paid off pretty well so far. If I told myself to like look back last year when I was at Georgia Southern and said, hey, you give it a year, you're gonna be a director at a Power 5 school literally 2 hours away from home, I would have laughed at y'all and said like, there's no way I get back to Kansas, like there's no way. So that's why it's such a dream, because this time last year I couldn't have imagined that I would be in the position I am right now, and I'm super grateful for the opportunity, and I'm going to do my absolute best at this job and make sure that these recruits are having the best time that they can on our visits, and we're showing them what K-State football is all about. So all paths have led me back to Kansas, so somehow I made it all the way out to Philly with Eastern time zone and finally made it back to Central time zone, which I'm really excited about.
I'll tell you
this too, Maddie. Being a West Coast person now, because I've been here for over 3 years, it's a little funky for me with everyone I know in the Central time zone. And I'll say this too: on College Football Saturday, when K-State's got the 11 a.m. kicks, and I have to wake up at 9 a.m. to watch those games. You know, that can be a little rough, but I've gotten used to the you know, I guess coffee with my football in the mornings.
It was definitely hard. I'd have to think about, okay, is my mom asleep yet? I'm an hour ahead. I'm like, okay, I gotta like sit there and think. Even though it's just an hour, I'm like, okay, do I think my mom awake, or is my, I like to call my niece all the time. She's three, and I'm like, okay, is she asleep? Oh, it's 8 o'clock my time. She's definitely probably getting ready for bed. So it's awesome that I don't have to think about the math, at least with my family. My husband's family's out in Florida, so we kind of swap time zones, so now he's having to do the math with his parents to see if they're awake.
I'm glad I'm not an island. I'm glad I'm not an island now of all the people I talk to trying to do the time conversion every time I make a phone call or try to do anything. So that's nice.
100. I'm like, actually, like, I always call my mom on my way to work. Like, I'm the age I am, and I'm still like, I still call my mom every single morning on my way to work just to, you know, make sure she's gonna have a good day and give her any updates from, you know, the last time I talked to her before I went to bed. But I always would have to think about it when I was in Philly was, okay, I'm going to work at 6:45. I probably shouldn't call my mom at 5:45 her time. So I really never got to talk to my mom in the morning when I was in Philly because it was so dang early in Central time zone, so I'd always have to try to catch her a little bit later in the day. So it's nice that I get back to my morning routine of about my 5-minute conversation with my mom in the morning.
There you go. And you know, for me, it's the opposite. I'm like, okay, I'm 2 hours earlier, so I gotta do the time backwards. And I'm not an math major. I'm just a journalism major. So I can't do the math. I can do the math, but my brain doesn't always want to behave. By the way, I'll forgive you for your 4 year stays at the in-state at the universities in the state of Oklahoma. So forgive you for that.
Yes, we forgive you for that. Yeah. You know, yep.
Yeah, we'll forgive you for
it's
that.
Okay. I have a closet full of purple now. We're good.
There we go.
Okay. So, all right. Yeah.
Turn the wardrobe over.
There's no crimson and no orange in my closet right now, so we're good.
You know what? One of my former bosses went to Oklahoma State, and I tried to get him to get rid of all his orange, but he would not get rid of it. So I did not win that battle. But in all seriousness, Connor, what did being at Oklahoma State, Georgia Southern, Temple, I mean, been a lot of spots really over these last few years. I mean, talk a little bit about how those have really prepared you for really taking hold of this position of director on campus recruiting at an in-state school, because that sounds like it's really kind of a job you've been striving for, and you've really gone through a lot of hoops. So what has it taught you, and how has it really prepared you for this?
I mean, like I said, at Oklahoma, like, they're the ones that taught me, like, how to do things, I guess you could say. Like, I'm a big visual learner, so, like, I would literally just watch what Annie would do there, like, even if it was the smallest interactions with parents, smallest interactions with our student workers, like, whatever it was, like, I'm just a very visual learner, so, like, I watched a lot, but then any of the things that we had there, like, they always taught us, like, the Chick-fil-A way. It's not like you have to sit there and say, my pleasure, but you're always smiling, you're always polite, you're, hey, is there anything I can get for you? Like, that's just, it's the business that we're in. We're a customer service business in recruiting, so we want to make sure everybody is happy. We don't want the smallest thing to teeter somebody's experience with us, whether it is, like, you know, no, like, I know that sounds silly, but somebody not holding the door open. I got taught at my schools, recruit doesn't touch a door handle. So that's what I taught my students at Georgia Southern, and I was teaching my students at Temple, was like, we are customer service based. And that was super important that I learned that at Oklahoma, because I've taken it literally everywhere I've gone, is like, we hold the doors. Like, I don't care if, like, I'm sprinting ahead to make sure recruit doesn't have to touch a door handle. Like, we are there to make sure they have a great time. And small things will make a big difference, especially with the parents or whoever their guests are, if it's guardians, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, whoever they bring with them. I think that is one of the biggest things, is just learning the customer service side of things. And that comes from literally every institution I've been at all together as a whole, of just learning new people and ways to make visits better. Like I said, I have pretty much all my institutions to thank, because I take every little thing to each school. Like, I keep folders on my computer of things that I really liked from my schools that we did, whether it's something that I brought from a different school that I learned from somebody else, or it's something that we created for that school, or that my DPP brought from their school. All these new ideas coming together. Like, I always tell the people I work with, is like, my ideas are never going to be the best ideas. I want their ideas to come together with mine, because our ideas together might be the absolute coolest, new, best idea in recruiting. And that's the big thing, is what's the next big thing? And that's what all of the schools are always trying to figure out, is like, what's the next big thing? Like, you know, last year was the 360 cameras. Okay, what's the next big thing on official visits for photo shoots and video shoots? Because now we're allowed to provide these kids with these videos of them from our visit. Schools are getting extremely creative with what they're putting out and sending to these guys, and they're posting it, and that's what the guys want. Like, they want the cool new stuff, and so do we.
Yep.
So it's like, how to be resourceful at Georgia Southern. Like, I was on a much smaller budget than I am now, but I still got things done at Southern. Like, we got things going there. Like, we kind of started that from the bottom up with our recruiting department, with Danny Payne, he's the director of recruiting at Navy now, and that's who my DPP was when I was at Georgia Southern, and that I learned a brunt of this business from. And he taught me how to utilize our resources. And just because I'm at a bigger school now doesn't mean I'm not going to utilize our resources. Like, I'm still going to penny pinch where I can, because that just could save money later for new services down the road, new recruiting services, or for mailers, whatever it may be. Like, I'm not going to be out here just spending the money to spend it. Like, we still have to be smart with where we're putting our money. And that was something new to learn at Georgia Southern, was helping with the budget, and even at Temple, making that budget. It's obviously I had a little bit bigger budget at Temple than I did at Georgia Southern, and now it's gotten bigger. so it's looking at that stuff of like, okay, what are some new cool things that we can do, but also how can we utilize what's around us? Because we have an amazing, amazing facility, and I mean, you've probably seen the photo shoots that we have now, like, don't do our facility justice. Like, we have a beautiful facility, and they have done a fantastic job at showing off the facility at all of our visits. So it's really awesome to look back at all the pictures, because I literally will look back at the pictures. I look back at recruits that post it just to see what they did, because, like I said, I'm pretty visual. Like, you can put it down on a piece of paper and I can read it, but I just want to see exactly what the kids were doing. So it's a lot of taking little tidbits from everybody's schools, and even, like I said, with Taylor, my coordinator, like, her being at a different school, I'm like, okay, how did you guys do this, or what do you think about this? And then we're putting our brains together, like, okay, this is what we think in this situation, like, this could be beneficial for us here. Even our director of scouting, Chuck, he was at Clemson, so, like, what are some things y'all did there that could benefit us here? And we're just kind of starting to put things together. It's neat, because we were just me, Taylor, and Chuck were just at a symposium 2 weeks ago in Nashville for recruiting for college football. And so we got to hear some really great speakers and hear about some really great recruiting services. But we also got to sit down with a whole bunch of women like myself that are in recruiting, and just talk about it. Like, what are some things y'all are struggling with right now? Like, what are some things that y'all have implemented that are helping you in this situation? So it's cool whenever we're able to go do these professional development things and come back with all these really cool new ideas that we haven't done before. And that's literally what we did from that symposium. So we're really excited for what we're going to come for this recruiting season.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
Maddie, it sounds like from a job standpoint, that you're taking a 1,000 piece puzzle and trying to put it together and in putting it in a sports kind of way, trying to make the recruiting better for all the would-be recruits to come into the universities and things like that. So it's very interesting to hear that and listening from and learning from that. It's pretty intriguing stuff, but at the same time, very exciting stuff. I do have a question. So I'm originally from Georgia, right? So you mentioned Georgia Southern a few times already on this podcast. When you went there to do your current job, your past job there from the state of Oklahoma, you mentioned that you've taken a little bit what you learned from each of your respective jobs, and you've try to apply it to your wherever you were at, and now you're here at K-State. What were some of the Georgia Southern is a smaller school. It's not a Power Five, obviously, but did you have to? Was that you're obviously from the Midwest? Was that much of a culture shock for you going to the down south, or was that like, hey, I can try to fit myself in? How is that total experience like?
Quite honest, I don't think Georgia Southern was quite of a culture shock experience for me. I feel like the biggest shock was how much pollen was around. That was different for me. I really like Georgia Southern. I did really well in that environment, and it's all about who you work for. Mm-hmm. it's all about who believes in you. And I had a really awesome support system there. Like I mentioned, Danny, that's my mentor. Mm-hmm. He is who I go to if I have questions or if I just need a little bit of guidance still. But that's who I go to for that kind of thing, those kind of things. But Georgia Southern provided me with Danny. Like, if I wouldn't have had a great support system there, it would have been a lot different experience for me. So it's all about who you work for, and that's also why I wanted to come to K-State, because I had heard so much about how awesome the staff is, how awesome Taylor Bratt is, how awesome Chuck Lilly is, how awesome all the coaches are. Like, obviously, Taylor Bratt and I come from Wichita together. He went to Heights, and I went to Mace. We're a few years apart.
See, I didn't know that.
So it's pretty awesome that I've been blessed with the opportunity to work with some of the best people in college football recruiting. And I think that's possibly a culture shock for me, is like, I felt so supported, and he knew that, like, hey, let me make mistakes, but also help me fix them when I need to, because I'm not going to learn if you don't let me do things on my own. So
right. Mm-hmm.
he is really good at always listening to my ideas. And, you know, if they're a little outrageous, all right, we got to calm it down. We don't have that kind of budget here. Like, what can we afford from that? So he really would make me think about what we could do at Georgia Southern to make it better. And a lot of the stuff for me is, I'm big on personalization. And a lot of these programs, when they bring in 15, 20 kids for their official visit at the same time, it becomes a little difficult to personalize things and make sure that those kids feel like we want them and they're the only ones on this visit, pretty much. So that's always one of my goals, is that I want a recruit to leave our visit and know that they are our number one priority, and that all I want is for them to have a great time, and I want to make sure they leave happy and that they don't leave hungry, because they definitely don't. I feel like we feed them 24/7. We always joke on visits, like, you're probably going to gain 15 pounds anytime you go on an official visit, literally anywhere, because all you do is eat. It's big on that. It's a big people person thing. I think my biggest culture shock in the regards you're asking about came from Philly, just because it was a different area than I'm used to.
Mm, okay.
Georgia Southern was a small town that revolved around college football. Revolved around the college football program in Statesboro. Mm. When I went to Temple, that is not the case there. Obviously, there's four professional programs.
Yep, four
teams there.
Mm-hmm, yep.
They played at the Eagles Stadium, so we didn't have a stadium that I was able to help us with recruiting needs for visits anytime I wanted, like I can now. Like, you can't just walk out the head coach's door and see this beautiful stadium that you get to play in every single Saturday and represent Kansas State. Like, I didn't have that. So I had to get extremely, pretty much like just try to figure out, like, okay, like, we'll pretty much have 5 minutes over at Lincoln Financial Field to show them the field, and that's about it. So, like, it was very big on, like, the coaching staff and our culture. So it's just different wherever you go, where you are, and that I think that is a huge thing for me in my learning experience. Was I'm so happy that I had the opportunity to go to Temple, because it taught me a lot in that regard as well. So that was probably more of the culture shock that you're speaking of, going to Philly. But it was fun while it lasted. I'm happy to be back in a small town, college town again. I was literally just elated. One of the first stops, I told my husband, I was like, we have to find the snow cone stand. Because in Philly, there was no snow cone stands. They only have water ice, which is like frozen fruit, pretty much.
Yeah.
Because I asked, I was like, where's the snow cone stand around here? And they looked at me like I was crazy. And I was like, they're like, no, we have water ice. And like, when they say water, it's like water, like W-U-D-E-R.
Oh, man.
So I was like, I don't want water ice. I want Tiger's Blood snow cone. So we've had three snow cones already here. So I was very excited to get back somewhere that has fun snow cone stands.
And
you know, it's always the small things that you think that you think it's going to be something big that you miss, and it ends up being like the smallest thing.
I miss the snow cones. I miss normal parking because I hate parallel parking.
Don't we all?
being able to drive 2 miles and not take 20 minutes. I was having to build into my schedules at Temple, you know, quite the time to get from our hotel that was in Center City back to our facility. And it wasn't that far away, but in mileage, but just the being in a huge city, all the stop signs and stop lights and traffic and all of that you have to consider. I'm very, very excited to be in Manhattan for sure.
Snow cones.
We actually stop at stop signs here, which is great.
And that is different, isn't it?
Yes, I'm grateful for stop signs.
Jumping in here real quick. I don't know if Alex has another question, but I'm going to jump in here real quick. That's the first time I heard snow cone here in Manhattan. Where do you guys get that at?
Snow cones.
I say soda.
See, it's pop.
Interesting. I say pop too, and I'm from Kansas City. Yeah, pop. Eddie, I don't know. Snow cone, pop. Another one, creek and crick. That was another one. Some people said creek, and some people said crick. I always said creek.
I say creek.
I really never have an instance that I've ever really had to use that in a sentence, I don't think.
I didn't think I ever would until I interacted with some people there, and yeah, it's completely. That was a thing.
Yeah, snow cones are great.
They are delicious, especially for a sweet tooth like me. I do have two questions for you. They're kind of play off of each other. But the first is, you talked about how much work goes into these recruiting visits and hosting all the recruits. Could you just kind of, you know, I think we all know, like, you know, we see, you mentioned social media, we see on social media, you know, when a recruit may visit a certain university, and as you mentioned, maybe they post videos, they post pictures, things like that. So, I mean, we see a little bit of what goes into it, but could you talk a little bit more about, like, really how much goes into it? So that's right, kind of the first part. And then the second part is, there's a little bit of a, a bit of a talking point among some about how it can be a little difficult at times to recruit to Manhattan, and that it may be a little more difficult than a spot that might be closer to a metropolitan area, or maybe a university that has a bigger quote-unquote brand name, or whatever that might be. Talk about just, you know, I hear a ton of people, and I've seen it firsthand, say, and Coach Kleiman talks about all the time, if we can get them to Manhattan, like, we feel good. The biggest challenge is actually getting them into Manhattan. And so
we've seen that.
It's really the biggest thing. So just can you talk a little bit about how difficult, or maybe not, even though you haven't been here that long, it may be to get a player to Manhattan, then what exactly goes into all those visits?
And real quick, and we've seen this a little bit with the short time with Jerome Tang, and what he's been able to do with that as well.
Yeah, so. Yes, he said the exact same thing as Coach Kleiman.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a special place. They got me here, and I'm like, all right, like, guys, I'm not leaving. Like, I literally told Taylor Brad I was going to retire here. I was like, I've only been here for a few days. Like, that's how much... I mean, they sold me whenever they were talking about our program and talking about the coaching staff. So it's the same thing when it comes to the high schoolers. You sell who you are, and who we are is what every kid should strive to be at. If I had kids and my kids going through the recruiting process, I've literally talked about this with my husband. Like, I am going to be, I'll probably be like the worst nightmare of that director of on-campus recruiting, because I am going to be noticed the smallest things. And that's kind of what they kind of brought me here for, is like, what little things are going to be a difference maker for our visits. I don't care if it's the smallest thing, like, we're gonna do make sure it's personalized. So I mean, once we get a kid here, I don't think it's hard to get them here. These kids want to come here. Like, when they see what we're about, and social media really does help, because we're able to post, obviously, all of our stuff from camp. The personalities of our players when they're mic'd up, those are some of my absolute favorite. when the guys are mic'd up. I would love Taylor Bratt to be mic'd up one practice, or even like just a day in the recruiting office. I would love that for us.
There's a marketing idea right there.
it's an awesome environment, and the kids can see that right when they got there. In my opinion, because that's how I felt when I got there. I felt absolutely at home when I got there. The first people I met were Hank and Taylor Bratt, and gave me hugs, and I was like, oh yeah, like, I'm home. Like, where's my desk? Like, let's get to work. So I think it's the same thing in the recruit's mind. Like, they want to go where they're wanted, and I knew I was wanted at K-State, and that's a big thing. Like, I feel like recruiting has kind of gotten to where, like, yeah, like, who could do the flashiest stuff? And in my opinion, like, yeah, we could go and do the flashiest things, but when it comes down to it, like, that's not what we're about. We're about who our coaches are as people, who our coaches want to bring in, who our current players are. Like, you can tell with the guys on our roster what type of guys our coaches like to recruit. And I think that goes to show for pretty much everybody on our team. Like, I don't know a lot of the guys quite yet, because, like I said, I just got here. But I get myself out to all the practices so I can just kind of see interactions with coaching staff and the players. So whenever I'm talking about it with recruits and parents, I can talk from experiences. Like, oh, I saw Coach Riley talking with his O-line and, you know, sitting there giving them encouragement of, like, you guys can do this, like, and so that's something for me that I'm able to go and watch and be able to talk about. So whenever these kids come and watch us on game days, like, it's the same thing. Like, we want them to sit there and watch our coaches coach and be able to picture themselves in purple on game days on that field, representing our program. So it's an easy decision for me. And for some, it might not be as easy, but it was a super easy decision for me after I talked to Hank the first time. Like, I was like, I know I'm going to go here. Like, they offered to me, I'm going. I talked to Coach Malone and Coach Kleiman, and them too. Like, they sold me on the program of this family atmosphere, and family is obviously super important to me. I love that my family's 2 hours away from me. I love that we're able to recruit those kids that are also close by, or even if they're far away. We have an airport in Manhattan. Like, your parents can fly into here. Yeah, like, that's something really cool that some schools can't offer, that there's an airport right there. Mm-hmm. Like, it takes, like, it's like 15, 20 minutes from the facility. Like, your parents can literally fly in Friday night, come and see you at your gate after you go through before dinner or whatever we do at the hotel, and then see you after the game, and they get to go home on Sunday. Like, they don't have to skip any work to be able to come and see you if they want to come fly into Manhattan to come watch your games. So that's a huge thing for those guys that are further away, is, like, we literally have an airport here, and we're showing you that when we bring them on visits. Like, yeah, we just flew you into Manhattan, and if not, we can, like, fly into Kansas City. It's a 2-hour drive. You got great shopping. Like, what? Like, I remember growing up, like, we always went, even though I was in Wichita, like, we always went to Kansas City to go shop for back-to-school shopping. So I think it's pretty cool that we have that accessibility just right down the road, because it's something to kind of go shopping, and, like, I know some of the boys like their shopping, so. You know, it's all about the kid, and it's about the parents, too, so. We like to make sure that the parents feel right at home as well. The coaches can pretty much take care of the recruit. I like to focus on who the guests are, because, you know, I'm not going to sit there and talk mall with dad. I want to sit there and talk about how we're going to take care of their kid for the next however many years they're going to be at K-State. I want to talk about our academic programs. I want to talk about the tutors we're able to bring in. I want to talk about how beautiful our campus is and all the opportunities on campus that they're going to have. I want to talk about all of our players. Like, I want to sell that side of it. Like, I literally cannot sit there and talk ball with you. Like, I want to talk about how your son is going to excel at Kansas State and how they're going to be turned into a man here, and that when this is literally, like, I help kids make the biggest decision of their life as a 16 to 18 year old, and I think that's pretty darn awesome job to have, that I get to be a small little part in their journey through the recruiting process of helping them choose where they're going to be at for college. It's a huge, huge decision, and parents, guardians, siblings, everybody is a part of that decision, and I want to make sure that they're all comfortable with that decision that their son wants to make to come play for us. So to answer your question about what goes into it, a lot goes into it. I have a very long checklist of stuff that I like to get done before the kid gets here, whether it's from the start of, like, okay, what day is this kid coming? All right, we got the dates. All right, from there, I have to go and request things from compliance. I got to send the kid a questionnaire to make sure that I get all of his information, whether it's flight information, whether it's guest information, what his favorite snacks are, what he likes to eat, any of that stuff, his favorite songs, any of that. Like, I like to make sure we get that right off the bat. And there's obviously a lot of things we have to go through with compliance, whether we have to get their transcripts, we have to get academic evaluations on them to make sure they're eligible, make sure that they're in the correct classes for their senior year. So there's a lengthy list that we go through to get a kid on campus. And once they're on campus, there's still an additional list we have that we need to make sure we get checked off. So our itineraries can get pretty long, but I'm extremely detail-oriented, so it helps, and it's also a pain in the butt sometimes because I'm like, oh, yeah, no, we got to make sure that I told Taylor today, my coordinator, I said, like, I want to make sure that we are always vacuuming the car after they leave, like, our rental cars. I was like, I want to vacuum the cars, make sure snacks are replenished in there, and make sure it smells nice, so make sure you put a little Febreze in there. So just, like, small things like that, I'm very detailed on. So you'd be surprised if you, like, got to actually sit there in an office with us for the week of an official visit, of, like, how much it goes into even just one prospect coming to visit us, because I want to make it the best possible, and every single visit I want to do better than the last one. So a lot goes into it. It's kind of crazy because when I was planning my wedding, I literally planned it like an official visit. Like, I couldn't have planned my, like, I wanted to plan my own wedding because I knew I could. And yeah. I'm not exaggerating when I say my itinerary for my wedding was 37 pages long. Because I knew how detailed I wanted it to be compared to what our official visits are. Because the smallest thing of somebody knowing exactly where they need to be is, you know, a GA not knowing that they need to go pick up their recruit at the hotel at this exact time. And the recruit's just standing outside waiting for somebody to go pick them up because I forgot to put on the itinerary. Hey, make sure you go pick up the recruit and his guests at the hotel. So it's an extremely detail-oriented thing to make, and I like to get as many eyes on it as I can once I'm done of making sure, like, I didn't miss anything. And that's what a lot of this next couple of weeks and these past weeks have been, is me learning who I go to ask questions. How do I book flights? Who do I have to book flights through? Who's my hotel contact to make sure we have hotels for the visit? Who's our cookie contact? Who do I go to for reservations for these places? Like, I'm having to learn all these new names and having to take a lot of notes of who to go to for everything and what forms to fill out for what reimbursements and what forms to fill out to get, make sure the kid is eligible to get on campus. So it's quite the learning process, and I'm grateful that I had this kind of buffer time of camp to learn it all. I won't learn everything right before, but I definitely will be learning on the fly some for upcoming visits. So a lot, that's the answer. So much so that I could plan my wedding by myself.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Episode 114 of the Purple Project Podcast continues with our first female guest of this podcast, Maddie Gage, Director of On-Campus Recruiting here at K-State. Man, that is a lot that goes into it. So much to learn.
Eddie, I'm just curious. Did you have 37-page itinerary for your wedding?
I did not.
You didn't?
Not close. Not even close. Maybe a ten page itinerary.
A 10-pager? Okay.
Yeah.
A little more modest.
Ooh, so
a little shorter.
Yeah, maybe a little short, but wow. Yeah, that is. I mean, from no joking aside, from wedding to getting recruits, trying to get recruits to visits and try to get them to commit. Yeah, that's wow. I've learned so much already from this interview. Very, very informational for the K-State fan out there that's listening. Maddie, a question for you about, okay, so me and Alex last year, it was around this time, we talked about the state of K-State athletics 1 year ago. And the fact that it was a lot of up and downs through the sports that we were talking about, whether it's obviously football and basketball, obviously the big 1-2 punch here in Manhattan, Kansas. You know that. And there's also other sports as well that are going through some of their phases as well. Soccer and volleyball getting ready to get things going here by the end of the week. This week, men's basketball going through a transition phase. And women's basketball kind of on a rebound from a down year from a year ago. So from before you came here, I don't know if you paid much attention to K-State sports. What was your kind of opinion? Well, maybe opinion's the wrong word. What was kind of your recap of you're coming in here to a pretty good good situation with sports kind of all of a sudden gaining that momentum. Chris Klieman gaining some traction from the Texas Bowl early this year. Jerome Tang bringing on his enthusiastic personality to the men's basketball team. Jeff Minnie just re-signed a 2-year restructuring contract deal there. Soccer trying to take the next step. Me and Alex talked about that last week. Volleyball trying to get back what they lost last year. And there's some other sports too. Track and field has always been good. I've almost walked on to the track and field team. Did not do that because I wanted to focus on academics and also wanted to get into the journalism field. So that's a little nugget there. But yeah, what was your kind of your from the outside in, what were your thoughts on what it was then? And then you're coming into the situation where obviously we're getting ready for a big football season, obviously, with the talent that Chris Klieman has back. What are kind of your thoughts on that?
Obviously with how much our campus is already growing, we have our new indoor, as we finish here it doesn't look like pretty soon, but they'll get it done pretty soon.
yep.
that's a huge selling point for recruits too. Walking them over there and showing them, you know, this is where this field's going to be at. This is where this is going to be at. Showing them what K-State football is becoming is pretty huge. And then obviously with volleyball getting their arena as well, that thing is coming in quick. You can already tell where the little bleachers are gonna be
uh-huh,
at.
Yep.
So we're super, super excited for what K-State Athletics has coming, because they're making sure that we're staying on track and we're giving our student athletes the resources that they need to be the best that they can be. And that also is me coming from these smaller schools that didn't have a nutrition center, that possibly didn't have a nutritionist. K-State football has an amazing nutrition area that the guys have access to, that has food in it anytime they need it, whatever drinks, Gatorade, all the little drinks that they need to get buff, all their muscle milk, fruit sandwiches, literally my favorite that I love to use down there almost every day is our Gatorade slushy machine. Definite selling point for me. They could have told me that on my first interview and I would have had my bags packed as well. Big snow cone slushies, pretty similar to me. But our facilities, like I said, like what recruit wouldn't want to come and play here when we are giving them the resources that they need to be as successful as possible. So with the indoor going in, yeah, if it's raining, whatever it is, we have that full field to be able to practice on. And it's literally right there. We got all the walls. We won't get rained on. Lightning won't be a thing. So it's pretty awesome what they've done so far. And obviously, like you said, I literally just got here, so I'm still learning everything. But just the things that Coach Kleiman's taught us so far with the core values that we follow with discipline, committed, tough, and selfless. Those are the type of things that we're picking and taking to recruits. Like that, those four core values are everywhere in our building. You can't really look anywhere and not see it. It's on my credentials for this year. It's on our lanyards. Like these are the things that we preach and we're putting into action. And I mean, you can see it on our football Twitter page that they have that. They post about it as well. It's everything that I haven't met all the other coaches for the other teams, so obviously I can't speak to them, but just from what I can see on social media, I am really, really excited for the season for literally every single sport. I'm going to try my best to get out to every single sport I possibly can to support them. just because I want to make sure that we're supporting the other sports. I haven't been able to go to a volleyball game in a while, so I'm excited to be able to go to the volleyball games and go support them and excited for them to get their new arena. I'll be excited to meet all the coaches whenever I have the opportunity to do that. So if there's anything ever I can do to help them, obviously I'd be happy. So the unique thing with my position is that you're not going to find it in any other sport, and you're really not going to find it. There's not very many at the FCS level. Not very many at D2 and down either. So I'm the only director of on-campus recruiting for K-State Athletics. So,
wow.
but the thing is that the other sports, they have people that do the things that I do. And it just might be their assistant coaches. It might be their director of operations. It might be a GA. Everybody has their own way of doing things, but obviously on the scale that football does it, having a full-time person to do it is obviously very important. And my job hasn't always been a thing. And it's an awesome position that is here because it gives women the opportunity to excel in college athletics. And I'm big on opening doors for other women. So making sure that I'm able to help in any way I can. If anybody reaches out or asks questions or wants to get into this field, or our student assistants teaching them as much as we can. So it's the same thing with supporting athletics, like any of the sports ever need anything. It's, hey, let me know. Like if you guys want to know how we did a certain thing or how we did something in our photo shoots, or y'all want to come over and use something, I'm all for it because like we're one athletic department. I want to make sure everybody has what they need to succeed, and if that's something that I can help with, I'm always going to be open to it. And I think that pretty much everybody, that we all want to help share ideas and help the brand of K-State Athletics. So we're really, really excited for this year and excited to get my first game under my feet so I could actually see what the environment's going to be like. And I already told my staff, I was like, guys, like, don't look at me at the first game day at kickoff because I'll probably cry just because, like, I am so thankful and excited to be where I'm at and to have that atmosphere. And this is the first time that I'll be at a K-State football game because usually whenever I saw them, it was in Stillwater and Norman. So I had never made the trip up. So it'll be my first K-State game. So
nice.
Super, super excited for that, to be able to see our first kickoff and just the fans. Like, I know our fan base is absolutely amazing, and I think that's one of the coolest parts is, like, when I get to go back home to Wichita, like I was this past weekend, and just seeing all the purple or people just being like, go Cats. Like, the first time that happened to me, we were at the airport going to that symposium. We went to in Nashville, and a guy on the other side of me at TSA pre-check or at TSA, like, said, go Cats. And I literally, like, was like, what? Because I had never, like, just, like a stranger had never just said that to me. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I was like, oh, my. I was like, yeah, go Cats. So it's pretty awesome fan base that we have to be able to go and see that. It's very different at one of my other schools that we really never saw that many people with our stuff on, because that's just the huge city we were in. But it's awesome when I can go back home and see all these people excited for football season. Or just asking, like, oh, like, are you a student there? And I'm like, no, I'm not a student there. I work for the football team. So everybody's always so excited, and once I was able to tell people I was coming here, my family was extremely excited, to say the least. The first time my mom saw me after we moved here, she cried, just because, like, it's crazy to her that I am back in Kansas and she's able to come watch me do what I love. My parents have never seen me actually work a game because they never did make it out to Georgia Southern for it, and obviously I wasn't running things at Oklahoma, so it's a little different when they came to those games. So them seeing me in this role and then being there for my first game is super important to me. So they'll be there in the stands for my first game when I'm standing on the field crying because I'm just so excited to be where I'm at. So it's going to be a really great game day. Of course, my husband will be able to be there. They won't be quite in their recruiting season yet at Emporia State. So excited that I'll have, like, three of my biggest supporters, my mom, my dad, and my husband there for my first game. So they'll get to see me running around, my head cut off, checking on recruits. So we're very, very excited for season and what's to come for us. So we have high hopes, and I know this team is completely capable of it. So it's just cool to be a part of this program regardless. I don't care if we're not good or if we're the best in the conference.
Right.
I'm just, like, grateful to be here and with the staff that we have. So that's what's important to me, is to have a staff that I absolutely love and that they are also in love with the program. So that's all you can ask for when you're in recruiting, is that you have people that love the school you're at and love recruiting just as much as you do. So it's pretty awesome to be here.
And Maddie, one more from me, and super appreciative again for you coming on and really giving us time to really break this down for, because this is really informative information for a lot of us Cats fans into really kind of pulling the curtain and giving us a look behind the curtain at what goes on into all of this, aside from just the glitz and the glamour that we may read on a message board or see on Twitter or whatever it might be. But my last question was really, and it kind of ties into facilities a little bit, because you talk about K-State with all these facilities and really kind of wrapping up this really big capital improvement project with these facilities over the last 10 plus years that began when I was there. Now we're to this point, and it seems like there is just a lot of momentum right now behind really recruiting for K-State in multiple sports, but particularly in football, for a handful of reasons. So, what do you do just to continue that momentum? And you touched on a lot of it, obviously, with some of these things that you do on these visits and how you connect with student athletes who are making the biggest decision of their lives. But in the grander kind of big picture view, kind of what do you and the rest of the recruiting staff just do to keep that momentum going that it seems like K-State really has going right now?
I really think it comes down to just the energy. We have great energy in our program, so when we get one recruit, everybody is super excited. As you can always see on social media, how excited everybody gets.
There are some catcalls.
Yeah, I've learned that. I was like, I guess I got to kind of figure out what I want to do.
Yeah, you have to figure out your own call.
I know. I was like, I got to start talking to our creative people about making me something. I think it just, we're excited every single time that we get a commitment. We're excited every single time a kid comes to visit. So our thing is, I don't like to look too far ahead on how things are looking. I want to focus on what recruits we have in front of us right now, what recruits I have coming at this visit, like if they're coming to September 3rd or whatever it is, because we felt like we have one kid coming. We have our game day visits, which are the unofficial visits. So those are the ones that the prospect pays to on their own dime to come and see us. And we're able to give them 3 complimentary tickets to the game with the NCAA rules. So we have quite a few of those that come down. And then we also have our official visits, which I'm sure you guys know, those are the ones where we can pay for everything for 48 hours for the prospect and his 2 guests to come on a visit to see us. So we have a lot going on all the time of constantly preparing for the next game, because we have 3 home games in a row. So I don't know if people will hear from me much the next month and a half. To tell my mom to, maybe she'll hear from me in the mornings, maybe not. We'll see. But it's going to be a really busy month for us up until we have our first away game, because we're literally going to be planning visits for the next 3 upcoming home games. And, I mean, how can we not keep the energy up with that? Like, I get so excited on game days. Like, every single night before a home game, it's like, you know when you get so excited before your first day of school and you can't sleep the night before? At least that's how I was as a kid. I was so excited for my first day of school I couldn't sleep. Like, that's me every single Friday before a visit. I'm like that every single Friday because I'm so excited for that kid to get there. Whether it's an official visit and they're getting there on Friday. Okay, I have that feeling Thursday night. I'm so excited for them to get there, but then I'm also sitting there like, did I forget anything? Is there anything that I didn't do on my checklist? Like, I need to go check my checklist. Like, I probably won't sleep because I'm just so excited and anxious for them to get there, because I'm so excited to show that recruit and their guests what the program's all about. And that's how our people are in recruiting. Like, we just kind of have that energy. Like, there's a specific type of person you want to work in your recruiting department, and one of those characteristics is being extroverted and having great energy. You know, I've always been told from my high school English teacher, Mrs. Brago at Mays High, that I could sell ice to an Eskimo. And I have taken that literally everywhere I've gone. Like, that's something I talk about in interviews, because it's something that, like, I love ice, one. So, like, yeah, I could sell ice to an Eskimo. Like, I love eating ice. We've talked about this with slushies and snow cones. But I just, when I love something, like, it's easy for me to sell it. And me getting to know this place for the past almost month, I guess everyone's been here a month on Wednesday, it'll be really easy for us to do that, because when you love something so much, it's not hard to sell it. It's not like I'm sitting there having to lie about things, about my experience. When you love it, it shows, and you can see that whenever Taylor Bratt talks about our program, whether it's to recruits or to boosters or even to me. Like, that man loves K-State, and that man loves K-State football.
There's no denying that.
Yeah, that's the truth. That's the truth, 100%. 100%.
And that's an awesome thing that, like, I get, that's who I get to learn from. Like, I have to match that. Like, he has that energy that, like, I want to match every single event. Like, literally, that every single day, his office is right next to mine. Like, you have to pass mine to get to his. He will come in and try to, he will come in and scare me every single day, like, just like, hey, what's up? And, like, it just startles me, because, like, I'm, like, focused on my computer or whatever, and, like, that's just the type of energy he brings every single day. So it's easy to do what we do when you love what you do and then you love who you're doing it at. So, I mean, that's how we keep it up. Like, it's easy whenever you love it. Like, they always say, like, you'll never work a day in your life if you love it, and I truly believe that. Like, I would spend all 24 hours of my day with K-State football if I could, because that's how much I love doing my job. Like, I literally love working in college football. I love working in recruiting, and I love that I'm able to do that in my home state and help recruit kids that are from where I'm from, or they're from the areas that I'm like, oh yeah, like, I, like you say, you were at Barton. Cool. Like, I played at Barton too, because that's where some of our games were at. So it's it's cool whenever I get to connect with the kids about that. I'm like, oh yeah, like, you're in the same conference I was in high school, or you're the same conference I was when I was at JUCO. Like, oh yeah, I remember this restaurant we stopped at. So it's awesome that I'm able to connect with specifically Kansas kids or surrounding state kids, just because, like, this is where I've grown up and this is all I've known. Besides my quick stops around the country lately. So it's just an awesome job to have, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. Like I said many times, like, I'm just grateful for the opportunity to be here and be in Manhattan and be in Kansas and to wear my purple every single game day. So it's a very exciting time in my life, and we're very excited for recruiting and our 2023 class. And what's today? Is today the 15th?
Yep.
About to be the 16th.
It is, yep.
June. Yep, it is. Around here, yep. About to be the
16th. September 1st is coming up. So that's the day we get to officially start talking to 2024s. So in a few weeks, it's time to start talking to those kids, which is insane to me that I'm like, wow, we are on the class of 2024. Like, we are old. Because I remember, like, thinking, oh my gosh, like, these kids are born. I remember when I was at Oklahoma, we started getting recruits that were born in the 2000s. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And now it's, like, even worse. So literally September 1, you'll see a lot on social media of kids posting, because everybody is, we're finally allowed to talk to them. We're allowed to recruit them and talk about their athletics rather than just, like, hey, come to camp. We want to see you at camp, because that's pretty much all we can really do for kids that aren't at the age we're allowed to talk to. So it's a very exciting time for us. Our 2024 board's growing, and the 2024s start getting contacted from us on September 1st. So there's a lot going on at once, because that's our game week, too.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
Maddie Gage here on the Purple Project Podcast, folks, on this late Monday evening here, August 15, 2022. Maddie Gage, Director of On-Campus Recruiting for Kansas State University. And speaking of checklists, here as we begin to wrap up with you, you answered a lot of my quick hitting questions to kind of end this interview on, but I will end it with this question here. I know you said you've plenty of times on this interview tonight with us that you've only been here for a short period of time, so I'm gonna ask it anyways. What is it you and your husband's best spot to go eat here in Manhattan, or have you even had time for that yet?
Does the Snowcone place count?
I knew she was going to say.
I knew you were going to do it.
It's going to be a Snowcone place. I didn't determine that on this interview.
We honestly, you know, we haven't really had too much time to, like, go explore the food options besides, like, my very first day, Taylor Bratt took us to Taco Lucha, which, yep, that was an experience. Really liked that place. I've gotten to go to Rockabilly.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Tanner's.
There you go. Yep.
There's another Mexican spot downtown we went to, and then the brewery downtown. So we've gotten around, that's for sure. Our actual first meal in Manhattan was Cane's, because we haven't had a Cane's for a while. And I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot they had a Cane's here. So immediately was
never
like,
go wrong Cane's.
I was like, I want a Cane's sweet tea.
I might think differently about that.
Lots of good food options around here. We're definitely not slacking on that. So hopefully once we get, I mean, I'll never really, this is our pretty much our technical downtime right now. So it's now now's the time to go explore the places, but I know when we go on our official visits, I'll get to go to a lot of these restaurants as well. But I think it's my snow cone place I like to go to. I think it's Joanna's Sweet Treats or something along those lines. It's in the Menards parking lot over on that side of town. That's the one that we like to go to. They have very soft ice, and I'm very particular on my snow cones. So I think this snow cone place is my place.
Eddie needs to take a trip to that snow cone place there near Menards, Eddie.
I guess I better put it on the list then. I guess I'm gonna put that on the list then. Yeah, we'll have to check that out. And while I'm thinking about it, I still have not gotten a goose.
Gotten a goosebumps yet?
Have you? No, I have not.
I haven't gotten to go there yet. I was supposed to, and I got real busy and wasn't able to go to it for one of our visits, but. I'm excited to be able to try it out. I've heard amazing things about it, and I drive by it all the time and can see in the windows. So I'm excited to be able to go there when the time comes.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. You are going to get to splurge and have some good food. Cause that's true. If you're taking recruits around on recruiting visits, you're going to get to make your rounds through the restaurant. So I'm mildly jealous of that.
Yeah, it definitely is a great perk. To have to be able to go explore the area restaurants to see what they have, and you know, obviously we're having a great time while we're doing it, so definitely excited, especially with Goldsby's, with the connection obviously to the team.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Wichita kid as well.
Yep.
So all the Wichita connections. I get excited for that kind of stuff because I get excited. I'm a foodie, so I like to try things. My husband and I are both foodies. He likes to do nice little ratings on, like, pizzas when we go places, or when we were in Philly, you know, we're having to try all the Philly cheesesteak spots that we've seen on TV. So that was the thing in Philly. It was, we were trying water ice places and we were trying Philly cheesesteak places.
You're preaching to other foodies. So
yeah, my husband has said he will never have another Philly cheesesteak again unless he's in Philadelphia. So
well, there you
That's
go.
Kind of my rule for Kansas City barbecue out here. Everyone's like, you've got to try this barbecue in San Diego. I'm like, no, I don't. No, no, no. I'm sorry. Anything you put in an oven, I'm not. No, that's not how you make barbecue. Okay, that's not correct. So I will. I'm sorry. I have to eat it when I'm in Kansas City. That's it. I'll even do it if I'm in Texas or if I'm in Tennessee. But I'm not. No, no. So I know the feeling.
That's good. That's good to know. So once I'm back over there in San Diego, I won't try that then.
But I'll flip it because now I can never eat Mexican food anywhere else. So. Look, you know, the Mexican food's so good out here, if I can never go back to Kansas City and say, oh, this is good Mexican, so, it goes both ways.
Alright, okay. Yeah, so it looks like I'm going to have to put that on my checklist. Goosebumps. Yep. If anything I learned, I learned quite a bit tonight, but more importantly, obviously, checklist, Goosebumps, and then... The Joanna's place is for during football season. Yep. Come up. So,
oh yeah, definitely hit it while it's summertime. I don't know what I'm sure they might close it down during the winter time since we get a little chilly in Kansas. So definitely make it one of your first stops before it gets cold.
Okay. I will, write that down. I'm writing it, typing it in as I speak, as we're talking right now. Oh my goodness. Wow. This has been awesome. Maddie, you have been awesome. We appreciate you. I know it's, you say it was your downtime, but, things are about to get, busy. We appreciate you, for hopping on. You gave us more than enough, but awesome, awesome, conversation with you, this evening. Yeah, definitely, the first football game right around the corner. I'm sure you're going to be feeling all types of emotions like you've been saying, and, good, well, I shouldn't say good luck. Well, have fun throughout the your first full football season experience, and we hope to have you back on at some point when you're not busy.
Yeah, next time we'll have to get Taylor Brad on it.
Yes.
I'm here for that. Yeah,
yes.
Well, yeah, that's a lot of energy. That's a lot of energy that we can use. We can use that on this podcast.
Oh, yeah, 100%. He keeps us going.
Yeah, definitely. That's a must. So definitely make sure you tell him that. Yeah.
Thanks, Maddie. We really do appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, you. Thank you. Yeah.
Later.
All right, talk to you later.
Bye.
Alex, that was some good stuff right there, my friend.
That was good stuff. That was good stuff. I think these listeners are going to learn a lot. Are going to learn a lot from this interview, as did we, Eddie. I think we both learned a lot from this interview.
We did. Big thank you to the on-campus recruiting director of K-State, Maddie Gage, who was the first female guest on this show. So that's big history tonight, once again, for the 400 Podcast, making small history again on this podcast. Boy, what a great summer we've had on this podcast. Guests are starting to grow as this podcast has gone on as well. So, exciting time. Oh, and by the way, before we wrap up this podcast, obviously, the talk of the weekend, Alex, we'll talk about this more on Thursday. Skylar Thompson, big debut, 20 of 28, 218 yards. I think he threw two touchdowns as well for Miami Dolphins against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's the talk of the town. Water cooler right now. What are your impressions of Skylar Thompson right now?
Eddie, I just want to know what you think Skylar Thompson is going to be an official starting quarterback of the Miami Dolphins. When's it going to be? I'm kidding. I'm completely kidding, Eddie. It's amazing how many people have heard say that. But look, Skylar, he had a good night. He had a really good night. First off, Eddie, he got the whole game, which, loved it. Beginning to end, Skylar, this is your game, go take it. And he played really well. Yeah, he played really well. Really took advantage of his opportunity, Eddie. And I think Skylar put himself in a position with his performance and with what we've really heard about what he's doing through camp to really have a chance to make that 53-man roster. Mm-hmm. At first, I thought that he may be a practice squad guy there in Miami with, you know, having Tua and then Teddy Bridgewater there as your 1 and 2. But with the way Skylar has played, Miami may feel they can't squeeze him onto the practice squad. Someone else will get him. So, again, I could be wrong with that, but I think Skylar is making a legit argument to actually make that 53-man roster there in Miami, and it seems like, they're really happy with what he's doing. And you look at what he did out on the field over the weekend, Eddie, he had a great game. He had a great game, and he did a lot of good things, and it just, Eddie, oh, man, it makes me wonder what could have been with Skylar in a Colin Klein offense. I wonder if what he would have looked like outside of Courtney Messingham's offense. No, it's Courtney Messingham, but what he would have looked like in a Colin Klein offense. We saw it one game. One game, he balled out, and he is just taking that momentum straight to South Beach and is continuing to perform at a really high level. So I do wonder what it would have been. And I'm wondering if we sit back in a couple years and think, man, I don't think we realized how good Skylar Thompson was. But look, you know, there's a long way to go in preseason. Also, I remember Blake Bortles just going crazy in the preseason, and we know what happened with him. But, you know, I'm definitely excited about that. And look, that's Skylar, Eddie. You know, we know that. That's what he does. He's going to go 110%. He's going to give it his all. And that's exactly what he's doing for the Dolphins. And I definitely hope that he can make that roster. And look, if, you know, you never know with the way things break with Tua and Teddy. If you're in the right spot at the right time, you never know what opportunities can present themselves.
Yep, yep. And also, kind of swam under the Skylar Thompson talk, and I retweeted this this weekend. Hashtag my guy Timmy Horn had a big game. Former K-State D-tackle who played here last year as a starter for Chris Klieman. He had a big impact on a rare, and I mean rare, Atlanta Falcons preseason victory over the Lions. A comeback victory, to be exact. That was one of the more better preseason games of the weekend.
And when I saw Timmy Horn's play that he made, I thought of our conversation last week on the weekly breach breakdown. That's work. okay, if you can listen to the weekly breach breakdown, by the way, that is my work. That's not what I meant to say, though. I meant to say in the Purple Project podcast. I have too many podcasts. Purple Project podcast. We talked about last week, so when I saw the play, I immediately thought of our conversation and when I saw him get up with that ball.
Yep. So he had a fumble recovery there. I think he had a sack. He had a couple of tackles in that as well. As I said it in the previous episode, again, that's episode 113. Go back and check that out. I have not already, but yeah, I said if the way that the injuries unfortunately played out for the defensive tackle spot for the Atlanta Falcons, Timmy Horn has a fair shot to make the practice squad. So this is one step closer to that. Obviously, it's still a long way to go, two more to go, and Timmy Horn is also trending in that right direction as well. So our former K-State football players getting it done over the weekend. We'll see what happens in preseason week number two coming up, folks.
Timmy Horn, starting week one.
I wouldn't say that far.
I'm kidding, Eddie.
I know.
I'm kidding. Don't worry. It was a joke.
I know.
It was a joke. Skylar's not starting. Timmy's not starting. But you know who is starting? Technically, Elijah Lee. Going to be a starting linebacker for the Chiefs. He had an okay day over the weekend.
Yeah, he did all right over the weekend as well.
He did okay. He had one coverage breakdown against the Bears. But outside of that, he was pretty good there. He's their number three linebacker. He'll be in a more passing downs because he's better kind of against the pass coverage. He's not the best necessarily run coverage linebacker, but he's pretty good in the passing, in those passing downs.
Yeah. So. We'll see what happens with Elijah Lee and the rest of the former K-State football players in the NFL in week two, folks. Episode 114 of the Purple Project Podcast is a wrap. Big thanks again to Maddie Gage, the on-campus director of K-State recruiting for Kansas State. What a story. to listen to that and to learn something from that. It seems like we've been talking about recruiting, me and you, Alex, for pretty much majority of the summer, and that's something new, I guess, this podcast, learning something new with this recruiting every week. It's been like that, and hopefully, you know, probably end up talking about some more, but hopefully the momentum continues. And next time we'll be talking, obviously, will be Thursday night. This episode will be going out on Wednesday with Maddie, so I'll be tagging Maddie in that as well. I'm sure this will get a lot of lessons. This is definitely informative conversation and fun with Maddie, and definitely hopefully we'll plan that, bring Taylor Bratt on. That's the next thing that has to happen.
Maddie brought a ton of energy tonight. I mean, she just injected energy into this podcast. Imagine what Taylor Bratt would do. Or if you had to say, like, Taylor Bratt and Maddie, this podcast would be, like, on energy drinks for an hour and a half space. It would be like energy drinks all night long. But but you know what, Eddie? I'll say this. I think she brings up a great point. You know, you're talking about, and I won't go too in-depth with this because she did, but talking about the energy, you know, how do we keep this momentum going? You know, bringing energy, just enthusiasm about everything we do, about, you know, bringing it to this job and really showing their love for it, showing their love to these recruits.
Look, that's something that I like to talk about enough. You know, that when you're a recruit and you come on campus and you see that energy, you feel that energy, and you feel loved and you feel appreciated, that's a powerful thing. That's a powerful, powerful thing. And if you say that you don't care about that, you're a liar. We all care about that. Are you kidding? We all care about that and feed off of that. So, I love that you brought that up, because that is really something that's true. We all want to feel wanted, and we all want to feel excited and feel, you know, have kind of that string of emotions that she hit on. So, I really like that you brought that up, and I'm really happy that that's a part of it. We know Taylor Brad, that how much energy he brings and how much of an emphasis that is to him. But to have people like Maddie in there with Taylor, and just have a recruiting staff with that type of energy and excitement, it's great for the university.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And the next time, we'll be back later on this week. And by time, around this time, the K-State season opener for the women's soccer team should be in the books. They're going to be playing Northwestern, and we'll break it down here a little bit on this podcast, along with if anything else important comes up throughout the week. And yes, K-State volleyball will be returning to action this week on Friday as well. So we'll talk volleyball as well as K-State football. Of course, practice, fall camp continues for them as well. So definitely good stuff. If you have not downloaded any of the dailies or the Chris Kleiman Fall Camp Presser, definitely that's something you guys can look into, download and check us out. If you're new to this podcast, if you like what you heard tonight, or your first time listening to us, definitely hit the subscribe button, because things are about to get even busier as we approach, like Maddie said, September 3rd. It's going to be here before we all know it. So, yeah. So that I was going to say something else, and I lost train of thought. So it is getting late. But Alex, we did it again. Another great guest on. Hopefully, we'll have her back at some point. Hopefully, within the calendar year. But for right now, Eddie Greer in Manhattan, Kansas. Alex Aiden Heat out there in San Diego. The Purple Project Podcast 114 in the books. We'll be back later on this week. Alex, looking forward to it, sir.
I'm looking forward to it too, Eddie. And another thing I'm looking forward to talking to you about is the AP Top 25 for college football came out. So we will bring you more about that on Thursday. You've got three Big 12 teams in the list, Eddie. Six, if you include the new Big 12. So it's going to be an exciting football season. I look forward to talking to you on Thursday.
Project Podcast.
Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll catch y'all on the next episode. Thank you for listening. Go Cats!